It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the penultimate weekend of the World Cup break in the top flight. It's a big day in the Championship. High Flyers Morton and Ayr facing Arbroath and Raith respectively. Partick Thistle are back to winning ways and head to Cove Rangers as in-form Queen's Park host Hamilton. And elsewhere, Celtic complete the signing of Canadian right-back Alistair Johnston. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me in the studio, Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
What's not to love about a Championship where the top six are separated by 6 points? And Alistair Johnston, welcome to Scotland. That'll not put Andrew off his dinner though.
Really looking forward to it again today, Gordon, because the Championship is so competitive this year, and Hugh rightly says 6 points separating the teams first to six. Anything can happen today. It's hard to call those fixtures. Good day ahead.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic break from that World Cup. Looking forward to goals galore from the boys round about the grounds. And I'm especially looking at that massive game at Somerset, the Gordon Dalziel Derby.
See, it's okay if I call it the Gordon Dalziel Derby. Yeah. You're not allowed to call it that. You're supposed to sit back and let everyone else.
See, Hannah's now scrubbing it. Oh, he's not.
Is he there? He's is he? Is that yeah. where he is?
Oh, he's got to be there because the chairman's his old school pal, you see. I think he's angling for a place on the board. That's my suspicion.
Well, they better not leave us, that's for sure. We've got some fantastic games in the Championship. We're even bringing you some League One action this afternoon as well. So sit back and enjoy. Stay involved though. That's the beauty of a Saturday afternoon. We're looking for constant involvement from you at Clyde SSB on Twitter primarily. And then a bit later on, I'll give you the nod and you can pick up the phone on the open line. So get ready for that. You can take the number down, 01419511025. And I'll give you a shout later on when it is that time. Until then, Twitter at Clyde SSB. Stay in touch and we'll hopefully enjoy an afternoon of football. No top flight action, of course. Good lower league games. And I'm sure, as always, on a Saturday afternoon, there'll be one or two left field topics that sneak their way into the show as well. So, lots to get through then. Why don't we start by going around the grounds? We should start maybe, where do we go, roughly closest to home? Must be Queen's Park against Hamilton. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, Queen's Park back at Hampden for a couple of matches over this World Cup break, and this is the first of them. They last played here in a 3-0 win over Stranraer in March 2021, and Queen's Park fans haven't been able to watch their side here since before lockdown. So these matches will be a nice send-off before Lesser Hampden across the car park is officially open for use. I'm told they're aiming to be playing there very early next month, all things going to plan, and they're well in the promotion hunt as well, just 2 points off the top of the table. So they'll be looking to keep that going today. A different story for Hamilton though, rock bottom of the Championship. They really needed a win in the Cup last week against East Kilbride. I was covering that one for Super Scoreboard. They had a good second half in that game. They ran out 4-0 winners in the end, but they need to try and carry that into the league where they've only won one of their last 11 matches. As for the teams here at Hampden, Queen's Park, it's Callum Ferry in goal, the back four, Jake Davidson, Lee Kilday, Charlie Fox and Tommy Robson, the midfield three, Jack Thompson, Grant Savory and Malachi Boateng, Josh McPake and Dom Thomas either side of Simon Murray. The substitutes, Naismith, Longridge, Kenny, Bruce, Herity, Williamson, Eze and Akabor Boateng. As for Hamilton, they make two changes from that win last weekend. Brown and Winter drop out, Doyle and Teehee come in, so it's Ryan Fulton in goal for them. The back four, Michael Doyle, Dan O'Reilly, Brian Easton and Matthew Shields. The two holding midfielders, Regan Mimnaw and Scott Martin, with Lewis Smith, Andy Ryan and Dario Zanatta in behind Jean-Pierre Teehee. The substitutes, Smith, Winter, Brown, Owens, McGinn, Oney, Newbury, Forsyth and Morgan. And the referee here at the National Stadium is Willie Collum.
Safe to say the Ackies could be doing with something, Andrew McLean.
Oh, absolutely. You know, John Rankin, I think he really was feeling the pressure last week. As I said, it was only one win in the last 11 league games for them. And, you know, it's not as if they're a club that go out and spend a lot of money. They focus a lot on youth players. I think at the end of the 4-0 win against East Kilbride, they had four 16-year-olds on the pitch. So they're still trying to do it with youth, but it has been a tough time for them of late. And, you know, we all remember Hamilton from the last few years being a Premiership side, scrapping to stay in the league a lot of the time, but they had been impressive in doing so, staying in there for so long, but they now find themselves at the bottom of the Championship. Going into League One would be unthinkable after what's happened in the last few years. But it will be a good opportunity for these players to go out on a very different surface for both teams as well today. A huge grass pitch. Hamilton, of course, have their artificial surface. Queen's Park have been ground sharing with Stenhouse Muir this season. They've got an artificial surface as well. So it might take a bit of getting used to for these two teams, but certainly should be an interesting tie. But as you say, Hamilton really need at least a point, if not three, from this game. But Queen's Park, they're in the promotion hunt. They want all three.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the beauty of this table, Andrew McLean, is Queen's Park can go top this afternoon. That's how tight it is. I dare say they would they settle for a playoff place this season? You would have to imagine so. But at this stage, is everyone aiming high?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Championship is such a tight league year after year. And even at this stage, you know, you start to look at gaps maybe being created. There's that top four that have 2 points separating them. Then there's a bit of a gap of 4 points. But even at that, it can all change. Results can go different ways. And all of a sudden, you know, it's blown back open. So Queen's Park, you know, I think even getting into the playoffs would be a very good result for them this season. Because, you know, being a newly promoted side, yes, they have thrown a bit of money at it. We all know that they've got money after the sale of Hampden Park, and they'll be moving into their new ground at Lesser Hampden. They'll want to be in the hunt for those promotion places. I think a playoff place would be a really good position for them this season, but they're only 2 points behind Ayr United, and anything can happen. Anyone can beat anyone in the Championship, so they won't be wanting to settle for that. They'll be wanting to go into every game, pick up 3 points, and hope that they can finish in that automatic promotion spot.
Surely we'll need to get you along to the new Lesser Hampden when it opens. Some piece of Scottish footballing history. You want to take that off the list, surely?
I would love to do it. I was just thinking, as Andrew was speaking about Queen's Park, I mean, I'll declare a vested interest. Oney Coyle's been my pal for 30 odd years. I hope he wins the title and goes up. But the last time that Queen's Park would have been in the top flight, whatever it was called, either the Scottish League, the SPL, the SPFL, the last time Queen's Park would have been in the same league as Celtic and Rangers, I think would be the 1950s and possibly the early 1950s. So to have Queen's Park, once an amateur club, in the top flight of Scottish football, I think is just mind-blowing.
I think that's what makes the Championship so fascinating, Mark, because for a number of years, we had a really weird time when we had some of our massive clubs in that league. We know that Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, Dundee United, they've all had a crack at it, yes, in terms of history and maybe a budget or whatever. I don't know, you know, Dundee would still be one of our bigger clubs, one of our city clubs, having been in the Premiership recently. Hamilton obviously won the Premiership recently, but it has got a much more of an open feel to it at the moment.
Yeah.
Why can't it be Queen's Park that go and win it
of
this
course,
year?
Of course, and I think I made the argument last week that I don't think it would be that much of a surprise. You know, the investment that they've put into the club and, you know, bringing Owen Coyle into the club and the infrastructure that's in place there behind the scenes as well, it shouldn't be seen as much a surprise if they're up there challenging. But no, probably more a surprise that Morton's up there with a rookie manager, with Dougie Emery and what they're actually dealing with. But it's so interesting. You expect Partick, you expect Dundee and Hamilton to be challenging, and it's far from that this season. That's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to it then. That's game number one, and it's at Hampden Park as well. Andrew McLean's not daft. He's got the nice surroundings for the Championship this afternoon. Queen's Park taking on Hamilton Accies. Queen's Park potentially could go top, and the Accies are looking to move off bottom. So it'll be a fascinating one there at the National Stadium. Do we have Roger Hanna at the Gordon DL Derby? We've stolen your line, Roger. I know you were up all night probably thinking of that once, but take it away nevertheless.
Gordon, welcome to the Ali Graham Derby. fondly remembered Big Ali at both clubs for all the goals he scored in the 1990s. Great big player, great lad as well, Big Ali. Fondly recalled by both sides. And he would love this game today because it's all about the strikers, Gordon. It's all about, of course, Dipo Akinyemi. 14 Championship goals to fire Ayr United, a point clear at the top of this table. It's 6 more than the second top scorer in the league, Queen's Park, Simon Murray, and 7 more than Reds top scorer Aidan Connolly, who arrives here probably even in better scoring form in the last couple of weeks than Dipo, including a hat-trick in the Scottish Cup against Ayrshire opposition 7 days ago in the shape of Auchinleck Talbot. Wraith, they beat Ayr 3-2 at Starks Park in September. And despite the fact they're seventh, they are only 7 points off air in that top position. That's how close it is in this championship this season. If Akinyemi's doing well for here, though, Lee Bullen has got problems at the other end of the park this afternoon, Gordon, because right back Jordan Houston, he tweaked a hamstring in Monday night's Scottish Cup win over Pollock, and he joins Alec Kirk and Frankie Musonda on the sidelines. That's three of Ayr's first choice back four missing, and what it does mean is it's a league debut for 20-year-old homegrown fullback Finn Ekrapoint in the back four for Ayr today. So they'll go with Charlie Albinson in goal. It's a makeshift back four: Finn Ekrapoint, Nick McAllister, Sean McGinty and Paddy Redding. Then in midfield, Josh Mullen, Andy Murdoch, Ben Dempsey and Logan Chalmers. And up top, Mark McKenzie gets the nod to partner Akinyemi this afternoon. On the bench, it's McAdam, Smith and Young, Billam, Ashford and Waterford, Bangala, Mitchell Lawson and Bryden. As for Raith, a couple of changes for the side that beat Auchinleck comprehensively in the Scottish Cup last week. Liam Dick and Kyle Connell, they come in for Ryan Nolan and Sam Stanton, who both dropped down to Ian Murray's bench. It's Jamie McDonald in goal. The back four, Ross Millen, Conor O'Riordan, Liam Dick and Kevin Ngwenya. Holders in midfield, Scott Brown, the skipper, and Brad Spencer. And then Aidan Connolly, Kyle Connell and Dylan Easton behind the fit again front man, Lewis Vaughan. On the bench, McNeil, Nolan and Gullen, McBride, Lang and Ross, Coulson, Stanton and Frederickson. And the referee at Somerset Park, where the pitch is looking great, refs Kevin Clancy.
I think if there's any more Dipo Akinyemi love from you, Roger Hanna, this is going to end in you getting him tattooed on you by the end of the season. He's a real favourite of yours, isn't he?
Well, listen, he's a real favourite of everybody down here, Gordon. I think there was a lot of worries in the summer when Tommy Adeloy, who had been the centre forward for the last couple of years, left the club to head back down south. I wonder who they were going to get. And fair play to the scouting system that's run by Graham Massey down here. They identified Dipo from the lower leagues. I think he was at Welling United in the sixth tier in England last season. And he's come up here and led the line well, and it's goals. So Daz will tell you, and Ali Graham would tell you too, Gordon, it's all about goals for centre forwards. And if you can get in with 14 before Christmas, as he has, then that's going to be a big contribution to Ayr's promotion push.
Yeah, I can certainly tell him, but I don't know about the guy next to him. He's trying to promote Ali Graham. Say hello for me, Roger. Yeah, it'll be an interesting game that today. Both teams like to play football, Gordon. Ayr just scrapes through against Pollock at the Scottish Cup, but flying high, top of the table, playing some interesting stuff, playing some good stuff, scoring goals. But that's got to be a real good match this afternoon at Somerset.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Let's head north then. Arbroath taking on Morton. Fraser Wishart's keeping an eye on that one.
I am, Gordon. Great to be here. First time, I think, since my playing days, and the improvements in the ground are here to see. Still the same old ground, same atmosphere, but they've spent the money wisely. They've been very successful in the last year or two, and of course it's second top versus second bottom. And 12 months ago, if he'd had this fixture, I'd have been saying Arbroath for second top and Morton second bottom, but this season's been a big change for both. Arbroath finding it pretty tough to keep that wonderful form of last season going when they're nearly promoted to the Premiership. Well, Dougie Emery's come in about a year ago, and has really changed things around for Morton, transformed them into title challengers. And that's come on the back of a great run of form since Morton actually lost to Arbroath at Capello 2-1 in September. Now 9 unbeaten, 7 wins and 2 draws, and see them sitting 1 point behind leaders Ayr United. And Emery's brought in Premier experience and mixed it with young talent, Ambrose, Grimshaw, Muirhead, all plenty of experience, and they'll come here full of confidence against Arbroath, who on the other hand have really been struggling since that win in Capello in September. They've only one win in their last 9, and they're in danger of becoming isolated in a relegation battle at the bottom with Hamilton Accies and Cove. And they currently sit 5 behind Cove in 8th, and a loss today for Arbroath with Cove winning at home would be a really worrying situation for Dick Campbell. Still the core of the side so successful from last season, likes of Ricky Little and Tom O'Brien and Colin Hamilton at the back, and signed likes of Scott Allen and players from England on loan, but it just hasn't worked so far. I'm told they're actually playing the ball around pretty well, playing some nice football, but they haven't had that quality needed in the last third and in front of goal. But today the Lichties could really do with a win for Arbroath. Just one change from the team that beat Fraserburgh last week in the Cup 2-0. Dylan Tate comes in and Flynn Hottie drops to the bench. They go with Derek Gaston in goals. Back four, Marcel Oakley, Ricky Little, Thomas O'Brien and Colin Hamilton. Midfield, David Gould, Scott Bidsindu, Michael McKenna and Dylan Tate, with Scott Allen just off. Bobby Lynn, usually in the wing, but he's now playing up front on his own. Their substitutes, Keegan Jacobs, who's fit again, Kieran Shanks, Derek Corf, Karim Izakia, Florin Hottie and Daniel Fosu. One change also Fort Morton from their win last week against Queen of the South. The Cup 4-1, very emphatic. Lewis McGrattan comes in and Jace Cabia drops to the bench. They go 4-2-3-1. Brian Schwake is in goals. Liam Grimshaw, Jack Baird, Effie Ambrose and Lewis Strapp at the back. In midfield, Grant Gillespie and Cameron Blues with Lewis McGrattan, Robbie Crawford and Jai Kitongo behind the lone striker, Robbie Muirhead. Their substitutes, Carlo Pignatello, Darrell O'Connor, Jace Cabia, Darren Hines, Lewis McGregor, Alexander King, Alan Lithgow and sub-goalie Lawton Green. And the referee today at Gayfield Park is David Dickinson.
Let's go to the Balmoral Stadium, Cove Rangers against Partick Thistle, watched by David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, I just wonder if Partick are actually quite happy to be playing away. You know, with all the controversy surrounding the club's ownership model the last few weeks. I was at the game last week, there was obviously major protests there. I think Ian McCall, to be fair, I think he's a bit uncomfortable with the whole thing. He was speaking about it during the week, said it was a bit strange to be playing through it. So I think there's 350 away fans here today. I think the priority will be backing the team and trying to get a win to take them back into title contention. Partick started the day 5th, or 6 points off top spot. They could really do with another win, I would say. Starting to hit form again, back-to-back 3-0 wins over Arbroath and Celtic Hearts. I was at the Celtic game last week to play some nice stuff. You can see the confidence returning. I think Ian McCall's starting to get some big players back, like Brian Graham, but there was a blow when Ross Docherty failed in his appeal. He gets sent off against Kelty. I think Ian McCall said it wasn't even a booking, but the SFA failed to overturn it, so he misses the next two games and that will be a blow. I think Partick will come here with a little confidence, but they're playing against a Cove team who do have goals in them. They beat Dunipace 7-0 last week. The league form has been a bit up and down. I think they've won one in the last seven, but there's been three draws, three defeats in there, so they are a bit inconsistent. That's something Jim McIntyre wants to try and eradicate, but with Mitch Megason in the team, Jenny McDonough, who scored four against Dunipace last week, there's clearly goals there for Cove. They've made three changes from that Dunipace win. Scott Ross, Fraser 5 and Evan Towler are out, with Max Johnson, Jack Sanders and Connor Scully in. So Cove looks at a 4-4-2, Stuart McKenzie in goals, Max Johnson, Jack Sanders, Mark Reynolds and Shea Logan at the back, Roy Longstaff, Blair Yule, Charlie Gilmore and Connor Scully in midfield, with Jenny McDonough and Mitch Megason up front. Subs for Cove are Gourley, Towler, Ross, Neil, Masson, McIntosh, Vigers, Dunn and Fivey. As for Partick, they've made two changes. Ross Dockery, as I said, misses out through a ban, and Stuart Bannigan also drops to the bench. Lee Hodson and Cammy Smith are in. So it looks like a 4-3-3 for Partick. Jimmy Snedden in goals, Jack McMillan, Darren Brownlee, Aaron Muirhead and Harry Millen at the back, with Kyle Turner, Lee Hodson, Cole McKinnon in midfield, and Stephen Lawless, Brian Graham and Cammy Smith as the front three. Subs for Partick are Young, Mason McCready, sub-goalkeeper, Bannigan, Weston, Akinola, Mullen, Fitzpatrick, Stanley and Lyon. And the referee at the Balmoral Stadium is Stephen McLean.
I did say we would even dip into League One for you, because some fixtures can't be ignored. Falkirk Airdrie should be a cracker, and Gabriel is keeping an eye on that one.
Yes, I am, Gordon. It's second versus sixth here at the Falkirk Stadium. The home side seriously in the hunt for promotion. They trail league leaders Dunfermline by 7 points. They've won 7 of their last 11, though, including a 6-0 hammering of Wick Academy in the Scottish Cup last time out. They are confident going into this one. Manager John McGinn makes 4 changes to his team. It looks to be a 4-3-3. Got Nicky Hogarth in goal, a back four of Brad Mackay, Cole Donaldson, Sean Mackey and Leon McCann, Gary Oliver, Captain Stephen McGinn and Aidan Nesbitt in midfield, with Callum Morrison, Ruben Burrell and Kai Kennedy up top. Substitutes here are Martin Williamson, Hetherington, Allegria, McGuffey, Years and Lovell. Now, Airdrie are also on a decent bit of form. They've only won 2 away games in the league all season. They were dumped out of the cup last weekend by Dundee, and player manager Rhys McCabe has made 2 changes to his side from the game a week ago. They're also in a 4-3-3 formation. It's Dean Linus in goal, a back four of Cameron Ballantyne, Craig Watson, Aaron Taylor Sinclair, and Ewan Deveney. Lewis Jameson, Rhys McCabe, Charlie Kelfer, Dean McMaster, and Callum Smith are the midfield, with Callum Gallagher leading the line. Substitutes: Henderson, Fellows, Frizzle, Watt, Deveney, Gunn, McGill, Kavanagh, Spalding. Now, Airdrie have won the last 2 meetings between these sides, scoring 4 goals on both occasions. Be interesting to see if they can do that again. And it might be the start of the knockout stages at the World Cup, but why would you watch that when you can have this in a typically Scottish setting? I've got the wonderful Kelpies to the left of me, and the blaze and the smoke of Grangemouth in front of me, and let's hope for a typically feisty and fiery Scottish match. The referee here is Mike Roncombe.
Well, Gabriel was about to give us a song there, and I was looking at who's to the left and to the right of me, and I thought I better not. But thank you, Gabriel. Looking forward to Falkirk against Airdrie as well. And as we often do at this stage on a Saturday, we'll look at some of the big talking points that are doing the rounds next.
action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are warm in the studio. The rest of the pundits out and about keeping us across the championship and even some League One action this afternoon as well. Now, often at this case, at this stage, I should say, on a Saturday, we open the mics, we get all the guys involved, and we look back on some of the week's biggest talking points. Let's change that slightly, because we're not looking back on the week's biggest talking points. We're looking back round about 25 to 30 minutes ago when Celtic announced a new signing. They have announced the signing of Alistair Johnson. He's joined on a 5-year deal from MLS side Montreal. He is a 24-year-old, as many of you know, Canadian internationalist, because he recently played for Canada in their 3 World Cup group games at the tournament in Qatar. He's due to meet up with his new teammates at the end of next week. So, Roger Hanna, the second piece of business already done by Celtic, and only the 3rd of December, moving early.
Yeah, I know he's too modest to say, Gordon, but you'll know it's a David Thrale exclusive in the Scottish Sun the other week, the arrival of Alistair Johnson. And don't say Ange didn't tell you, because he has flagged up for several weeks and months now his willingness to turn the squad over. He brought players in on 4 and 5 year deals, not really with the expectation of them waiting 4 or 5 years at Celtic, but with an expectation on them building their reputation, winning moves to bigger leagues, not necessarily bigger clubs, but bigger leagues, and making Celtic a profit on those deals. I would expect now Josip Juranovic to probably head out of the club in January, after he, like Alistair Johnson, excelled at the World Cup finals. People will be watching him. I think Juranovic's agent has never disguised the fact he'd like to move on to a bigger league. And all Celtic are doing is really getting these replacements in first. Ange Postecoglou spoke yesterday when they paraded Yuki Kobayashi and said getting him in now allows him to settle into a new country, to a new language, to a new league, and he'll be up and running when Celtic are ready to have him up and running. And I think Alistair Johnson is a very similar case in point.
Hugh, you can only make so much of a judgment before you've seen the guy play for Celtic, but what you would have to note at this point is the sort of speed that Celtic are doing these things with. I mean, the transfer window's not open yet. It's not even that close to being open. Kobayashi's done, and so is Alistair Johnson as well. So they're moving early.
We never stop. Ange's phrase not only applies to the team on the park, it applies to Celtic in their transfer dealings. Clearly they are looking ahead at the month of January, anticipating that there might be moves for Giakoumakis and for Juranovic, and that there are people in the building now who can go in straight away on the 1st of January, Kobayashi and now Alistair Johnson. They like to get their business done, Celtic. And I think I would also anticipate that Giakoumakis and Juranovic are angling to be out of Celtic Park. And Ange Postecoglou doesn't want people who are less than 100% committed to the club. So if offers are in for those players, they will go.
Mm. What do you make of that then, David Friel? You forecast it. It is now done and dusted. It's over the line.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, since it's a pretty open secret that Josip Juranovic probably will go in January, Gordon, so Ange Postecoglou is all about forward planning. He has clearly scouted Alistair Johnson. This isn't just something that's happened in the last week. I think he's been watching him for a long time. Obviously, I think his Canada form really caught the eye of Celtic scouts. Obviously, been playing MLS, which is a better league than a lot of people give it credit for, but I think it was his Canada form. I think he started something like 33 internationals in a row. I think the thing that stands out about him for me is he's very physical. You know, he's fast, he gets stuck in, and what he will give Celtic at right back, if he is a long-term successor to Juranovic, as everybody thinks, a bit more height. You know, I think Celtic's defence, I think Celtic's team in general is pretty small. I think he stands at just under 6 foot, so it'll give him a bit of physical presence in that area as well. And also, you know, the way Ange Postecoglou likes to use his fullbacks coming inside, etc. Alistair Johnson was a midfielder up until about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, so he's a converted midfielder into a fullback. So I think he'll be more than capable of kind of coming inside and playing that central role when he needs to. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the fee, kind of upfront fee, seems to be about £3 million. I dare say Celtic got a lot more of that for Josip Juranovic, so it seems to me it's sound business all round.
How strong should the assumption be then that Josip Juranovic will leave in January? Do you have to be aware that that there is a club out there that's likely to make a move, or is there a possibility that until the summer Celtic have Alistair Johnson and Josip Juranovic and Anthony Ralston?
I think it could happen, yeah. I mean, I don't think Celtic will be hounding Juranovic out the door, but I do think there's a lot of interest. You know, I dare say there might not be maybe a few clubs involved now. He started every game for Croatia. Croatia could go quite deep into this World Cup. You know, I think his age, he's what, 27, 28, he's quick, he can, you know, we always think of transfer fees, Gordon, say £10-12 million has been huge. For teams in England, for teams in Germany, that's not that big. So I think Celtic will get big bids for Juranovic. I think in an ideal world for Celtic, there would be a bit of an auction. Whether that comes to pass, we will see, but I definitely think they're getting the successor in first, and then they'll see where the transfer window takes them. But I wouldn't expect Juranovic to stay at Celtic beyond January.
I don't know how these things work, Fraser Wishart, in your high position as chief of PFA Scotland. Does Alistair Johnson's move come across your desk prior to now? What do you make of that?
No, it hasn't. I presume he's automatic got his work permit because of his international games and the point system, which is hugely complicated. But I was struck by the difference in physicality between him and Juranovic. I agree with the guys. I think Juranovic will definitely go, no problem with that at all. If Juranovic wants to go, then that's absolutely fine, because that's why Celtic brought him in, was to fatten him up, if you like, and sell him on. So it works for both sides. But same as last year, when you think back to the Japanese players coming in the January window, they were all done and dusted in December. You know, although they weren't announced until January, the work permit process to go through as well, which takes a wee bit of time. So if you're bringing in a player, even Alistair Johnson, he qualifies automatically because of all the complications. Now, it takes 3 or 4 weeks for clearance to come through. It's not as quick as it used to be. So therefore, it makes perfect sense that they'll be there for the start of January, and perhaps for the Old Firm game, similar to last year with the Japanese players. So Celtic going about it, and they're also looking at different leagues now. You know, you're looking at the MLS for the Canadian team that play there. You're also looking at Japan as well, not the traditional leagues that perhaps Celtic would have looked at before, trying to get a bargain for 2 or 3 million somewhere, because as David says, you know, most sort of average players or a bit above average players are 10, 15 million in the big leagues. So Celtic going about their approach totally differently. It's been a huge success over the last 18 months, and there's no reason why that won't continue.
Yeah, some quotes coming in from Alistair Johnson. I'm delighted to join such an historic club. Can't wait to get started. And when I was young, I had posters of Mark Wilson on my bedroom wall.
He
says, from one legendary right back to another who looks to fill those big boots.
Give him the number 12.
Any advice?
Number 12 shirt coming his way. Well, I think in the face of it, it's a good sign. And Ange Postecoglou has to obviously protect the best interests of Celtic. And when Juranovic's agent starts making noises in the summer, there's usually only one way that ends up. So you've got to say about the Celtic manager, he doesn't hang about and he's fast to act. And when you look at Johnson, I've seen him in the World Cup, he certainly looks like a good replacement for Juranovic, and someday it might push Ralston on, as Juranovic has done as well. He's coming after having a full season under his belt, because he's played since February all through this World Cup. So you wonder what sort of condition he'll come in if he needs a rest. But as Fraser said, we've seen the Japanese guys come in and just play on, and it actually benefited some of those. So I think in the face of it, it looks a good signing, but I don't think we should lose the fact if Juranovic does go, it still would be a loss in the same way, because he came to the club for £2 million, and I think he's been excellent. I think he's been one of the best right back Celtic I've seen in a good while. And if you're losing that, then obviously it's not ideal. But the best thing you can do is scout a guy like Johnson, who comes up well, has got a good pedigree internationally, and you hope that he can hit the ground the way Juranovic did when he came to the club.
This is the Celtic model. Buy low, sell big.
This would be an extreme example of it, though, the time frame, wouldn't it? You know, you usually get a couple of years and then you then look to do it. This I've been banging on about this all week. People will be sick of hearing it, but Ange Postecoglou's comments at the AGM about being aggressive in the transfer market, doing things quickly, be prepared to lose your favourites. It's no secret from way back Celtic have wanted to buy low and sell high, but this would be very quick. This would be a very quick turnaround.
But the world has speeded up. Nothing is as it used to be. I was speaking earlier on at Queen's Park in the 1950s, since they were last in the major division. Who could have foreseen the day when Celtic had 5 Japanese players in their squad? And I would think that Alistair Johnson is the first player that Celtic have ever brought from the MLS. So nothing stands still, and that's the way of the world. So if Juranovic is in and out quickly, in Ange Postecoglou's world, so be it.
Very profound. I suppose, Roger, fullbacks for Celtic now do get asked to do something a bit differently, as David Friel says. The idea of playing in the field and being that inverted fullback, that must be something that Celtic have looked at and believe that Alistair Johnson can do. You look at Greg Taylor in particular, he's taken to it so well. Is that now almost one of the main responsibilities for a player in that position?
Yes, without doubt. And you know, you took the words out of my mouth and you mentioned Greg Taylor. He has revelled in the task that Ange Postecoglou set him to come in, to join up the play, to add numbers in the midfield area. Juranovic does it as well, Tony Nelson does it as well. And when they were scouting a replacement for Juranovic and they looked at Alistair Johnson, that's going to be one of the first things they're going to tick off, the fact that he is comfortable on the ball, he can come in, he can get himself involved in the play, as well as the physicality and the basic defensive attributes that he has, Gordon. So yeah, of course, that's something they'll look at, and it'll be interesting to see what stage he, you know, he's older than Kobayashi, he's more experienced than Kobayashi. They're registered January 1st when the window opens, they're available January 2nd at Ibrox. It'll be interesting to see if either or both are involved against Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe slightly different circumstances due to personnel, but the Celtic weren't shy in putting players into the early games after the break last season. David Friel, is Georgios Giakoumakis' situation as likely to pan out the way this one did? You know, if we're talking about Josip Juranovic, will he go? Then a new right back signed, it sort of points towards that. Where is Georgios Giakoumakis in comparison?
I think there's a chance. I wouldn't be as sure. I'm kind of torn on this one, Gordon. I think it is Georgios Giakoumakis and his agent have every right to, if they think it's in the contract to get better terms, then they've got every right to go and ask for them, and they've got every right to be unhappy with them if that's the case. But Celtic have also got every right to say, no, you've signed a contract, there you go, you'll see your contract out. I think where the club and Ange Postecoglou have to make a decision is, do they see Georgios Giakoumakis as a long-term first choice, or do they think they can upgrade and get better? And you mentioned it all week, Gordon. You go back to the AGM, Ange Postecoglou said, some favourites will leave, some people will be unhappy, but I know what I'm doing. And I wonder if a decision has to be made in Giakoumakis. Do you sanction a big long-term bumper contract, or do you think, you know what, we can get better out there, so let's go and get better? I think that's the question Celtic will be asking right now, but I definitely think there's a chance he could go in January, but I would think Juranovic is far more likely to go than Giakoumakis.
Roger?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. And if he does go, and I think it's unlikely, if he does go, I think Celtic will have players lined up to come in and replace him, because that is the way Ange works. It's the way he wants to work. You know, if there was a bid that Celtic could knock back for, say, a Jota or a Leila Bada or something like that in January that we haven't foreseen so far, Gordon, there will be someone lined up to come in and replace those players. There will be no doubt about it. But you see the stories about Giakoumakis through the week. This is just the agent just sounding things out in public. Is there more money to be had for my client? Is there a club out there willing to take my client? So as things stand, I think we're all agreed Juranovic will probably go in January. I'm less convinced about Giakoumakis.
I mean, Fraser Wishart, I suppose, as Hugh says, teams are doing business a lot quicker now, or Celtic certainly are. What do you read into that overall strategy?
I think it makes sense. I think that one point I maybe didn't dwell on too much, but it was to do with the work permit process. You know, you have to have a work permit now to come in from Europe. I mean, guys like Johnson and Kobayashi would have to get one anyway under the old system, but it does take a few weeks. You know, it does take weeks. And clubs have been complaining. I've had a few clubs on the phone to me over the period saying, what's going on? So that just now, you can start the work permit process as soon as they've signed, etc. So that's an advantage, because they could be ready. They could be through by January the 1st. And I think it takes you out of that daft auction system that becomes towards the end of January as well. If you can get players, two or three players in, and I agree with the lads with Giakoumakis, you know, I think they would have to have somebody there to replace him, because they don't have a lot of options in centre-forwards. It's him and Kyogo, really, two strikers. They've got many options wide, so they could lose one of the wide players and not replace them. But if you're going to get your players in, get them in before you get towards the end of that window, when it just becomes silly. If you're really desperate to get a player, you end up playing over the odds, maybe paying too much in wages as well. So It's very calm, it's very collected. You can do that when you're in a strong position like Celtic, when you've got a strong squad. Everything's rosy in the garden. The fans are happy, the board are happy, it's making money, the players are playing well. That happens. And for me, I think it's a good approach for Celtic to just get the two or three players they want in January, get them in as early as you can, and you're not involved in that daft, as I say, auction process almost at the end of the window.
On the subject of Celtic fullbacks and the world that has speeded up, Jeremy Frimpong, he was at Celtic Park for 2 minutes, or so it seemed, goes to the Bundesliga, and now there's talk of him moving on to Manchester United, with Celtic getting another lot of money for him. That's Celtic's world now.
Has he popped up on the TV screen there? Is that what reminded you?
No.
I just noticed that the Netherlands against USA, he was about to kick off in 15 minutes time.
I'm a speeded up thinker.
You sure are. Anyway, well, something like that. Anyway, right, we'll go back around the grounds. We've got plenty to look forward to in today's games. Just to recap that breaking news this afternoon, Celtic have signed Alistair Johnson on a 5-year deal, but we will go back around the Championship games and beyond after these.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, Hugh Keevans all in the studio. The top team round the grounds as we fast approach kick-off. Just about 13 minutes to go. We're featuring Championship and League One games this afternoon, but of course keeping an eye on anything else that is doing the rounds. Let's go back to Queen's Park against Hamilton. Andrew McLean is there for us. Andrew, when you look at the contrasting form between the two, it certainly would point to a home victory. We've had a few Accies fans, I remember one in particular phoning last week, particularly unhappy about the way things are going. Can sometimes one victory against the odds, or even a draw against the odds, be enough to give you that kick start you need?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they had obviously that 4-0 win against East Kilbride last weekend, but it was against a Lowland League team. It was in the Scottish Cup. It's just about coming here against a very good Queen's Park side and trying to get that result that can maybe turn their fortunes around. I mean, you look at what's been going on at Queen's Park in recent times, massive changes on and off the park. It really shows the contrast between the two teams at the moment. You know, Queen's Park have brought in Leanne Dempster as our chief executive, Owen Coyle's the manager, Maren Bucher, the sporting director. He was brought in from AZ Alkmaar. We're about a month away from them opening their own stadium across the car park here. They've had back-to-back promotions. Remember, they only got up through the playoffs last year as well, but they're showing constant improvement and progression because they're now knocking on the door of, you know, the playoff spots, or they're in the playoff spots at the moment and potentially looking to, you know, could move top of the league today if results go their way. And Hamilton are just going in the other direction. They've been making backward steps in recent years after that long spell on the top flight. John Rankin trying to cut his teeth in management, but it's not an easy place to do it. They don't have that money that Queen's Park have. They have to rely heavily on youth as well, and they have been doing that for a long time now. But all you need to do is look at this Hamilton bench for how tough it is for John Rankin. You've got Liam Morgan, born 2006, Gabe Forsyth, 2006, Kian Newbury, 2006, Ryan Oney, 2006. There's a 2005 born in there, and Chrissy McGinn. The rest are all born in 2002 or more recent as well. So that's what John Rankin has to contend with at the moment. You know, a fantastic opportunity this today for these young players to maybe get on and test themselves here at the National Stadium and play on this really good pitch as well. But these players will be relied on heavily from the bench this season. It's what John Rankin's having to contend with. He'll maybe hope he can do some January business and beef out the squad, and he'll hope that there's more experienced players like Brian Easton and Andy Ryan can step up to the plate as well. But I think it is probably a big ask for them today against a good Queen's Park side, but we know what the Scottish Championship's like, and anyone can beat anyone.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, you're United against Raith Rovers, the Gordon DL Derby, as he's calling it. It looks to be a cracker. Roger Hannah, if we're talking about Jackie Mackis getting a January move and Celtic doing business early, is there a danger that your man moves on in this window?
Listen, none of that talk, please, Gordon. Listen, there's always that danger, isn't it? Anyone who scores into double figures, as Dipo Akinyemi has in the first half of the season, 14 goals by the first week in December, people will be looking at him. And I think that then puts pressure on the board down here to show their ambitions, and not only to reject any bids that come their way for Dipo Akinyemi, but maybe even to add one or two. You know, they have strengthened really well this season. You know, the likes of Josh Mullen and Logan Chalmers, who are on either side, either flank this afternoon, have really added something to this squad. Ben Dempsey's come in from Charlton. They paid money to get him in a permanent deal after a successful loan last season. Dipo Akinyemi, as we say, has arrived, so there has been an outlay, but the excitement is building. It is a logjam at the top of the championship, as we said earlier on. They are only a point clear, but I think that, you know, the fans here will look not only to keep what they've got in the January transfer window, but maybe add to it as well, Gordon.
Still bitter, still hoping that Ayr don't go up this season, just so they don't trump your achievements.
Yeah, I hope Ayr and Raith both lose today so they go further down the league.
They are of course playing each other. He knows that. I think we'll cut him the benefit of the doubt on this one. Or both against Morton, if we're talking about unlikely stories of the season, Fraser, you alluded to it earlier, and that would certainly be the bracket Morton would fall into. How long can they sustain it? That would be the question.
Well, I'm looking at their squad, Gordon. I think they can sustain it. You know, it's looking as strong as any of the other teams in and around them. I think, like most of them, I think the team that has the least injuries, least suspensions, might just be the one that gets to the top of the table, because they are operating with smaller squads. But very, very experienced, as I said earlier. I mean, Jack Baird's centre-back played St Mirren in the Premiership. And he's beside Effie Ambrose. You've got the likes of Robbie Crawford, who's played for Livingston. He played for Partick Thistle. Grant Gillespie played in the Premiership with Hamilton Accies. Robbie Muirhead, I think, has always been an excellent striker. Kilmarnock and Dundee United as well. Liam Grimshaw, who you know well, Gordon, through his time at Motherwell. So they've got a core of experience, but if you lose two or three of the players, especially the likes of Muirhead, who's a top goal scorer, Gillespie scored a number of goals in midfield as well. They're key influential players, and I think that's the absolute key to them staying where they are. But great run. I mean, 7 wins and 2 draws in any division is fantastic form, and I actually do fancy them to win again. I just have a look at Arbroath, and there's just something not quite right here. I know they were so brilliant last year, and they got the best out of the part-time players, the best part-time players in the country. And they went down a slightly different route this year. Players from England, they've got Scott Basindu from Congo, who's on loan from Livingston. They've got Romanian Fulon Hotu, Daniel Fosu, who's actually from Ghana, although he lives in England. So they've gone down a different route, like a lot of championship clubs done, and it's not quite worked, because only Oakley and Basindu are actually starting this game today. So back to Bobby Lynn, back to the likes of new signings Scott Allen and Dylan Tate as well, to see whether they can create something. But just a bit of a struggle for Arbroath, and I think they'll do well to stay in the league this year.
Looking forward to that one as well. Arbroath against Morton sounds weirdly calm at Gayfield. It's usually a bit wilder at this time of year, but Fraser Wishart sounds like he's surviving quite the thing. I'm jealous, David Friel, purely because Balmoral Stadium's one of the only ones I've not been to. You've got the privilege today up against Partick Thistle. Do you think those two victories, back-to-back victories for Partick Thistle, no goals conceded more crucially in that time, is that giving them the platform now to kick on?
It's certainly alleviated the sort of dark clouds that were hovering over Firhill on the pitch anyway. Obviously there's everything that's going on off the pitch, Gordon, but I think Ian McCauley kept talking about those clean sheets. I think he just felt the goals were conceding just wasn't good enough. It was unacceptable for any team in the Championship, I think, and they definitely have looked a bit more solid. Darren Brownlee's come back into centre half, and he's pretty solid in there next to Al Muirhead. There's no frills really, but he's getting the job done, and this will be a real examination here. I mean, just looking at the table, Cove are actually only 6 points behind Thistle, so they could go within 3 of them if they win today. And as I spoke about earlier, you know, Jeremy McDonough gets the 4 goals against Dunipace last week, but Mitch Megginson for me has been one of the players of the lower leagues in the last few years. You know, he just scores goals after goal. I know he's got a really good job off the pitch, and I think that's probably why he's stayed in the sort of part-time game, because there's no doubt in my mind he could have gone full-time a long time ago. He was at Aberdeen as a kid. So this will be a stern examination of Partick Thistle today, and you know there's a decent away crowd here trying to cheer them on. And next game for Thistle after this, Gordon, is Ayr at home, so I think they really need to get 3 points today.
Do you think the fan stuff, the unhappiness, David, do you think has that hit its low point? Does it start to get a bit quieter, or does this rumble on until boardroom change is made?
I think it rumbles on. You know, I know I heard Hugh was last night saying that he dreads something about it. I did the same. I kind of tried to research a bit into it, Gordon, and it's very, very complicated. It's kind of factions within factions, and I don't think this is something that can just be sorted out over a cup of coffee and a chat. You know, I think this might rumble on for a while, and it's definitely going to be off-putting. Listen, players sort of live in a bubble, and I dare say they aren't reading too much into it, but if you're playing games and you can hear board protests and some fans aren't coming into games and standing outside, which is their right to do, then of course it's going to translate onto the pitch in some way. So I think Partick Thistle would rather it did go away, but I would think it will rumble on for a fair while yet.
Of course, we've got a League One game in our featured matches this afternoon as well. It is Falkirk taking on Airdrie? I think everyone involved in Scottish football thought Falkirk would have managed to escape League One by now, Gabriel. They haven't. And even this year, it's not going to be easy. They're already trailing Dunfermline by 7 points. Is it in danger of getting beyond them?
Yeah, well, Gordon, these are the kind of games that they must win. They're playing top half opposition. They're at home, and they are, as you say, already 7 points behind the league leaders. They're outscoring Dunfermline at the moment, but it's at the back that they've got issues. They've conceded 19. They really want to tighten up there. You know, John McGlynn likes to play the ball on the deck, likes to play attacking football. But when you do look at the league table, it is really tight behind Falkirk in second place. They're only ahead of FC Edinburgh on goal difference. Then you've got Montrose, Alloa, and Airdrie themselves on their tails, all in the top half. A win for Airdrie here today would move them level on points with Falkirk. So as you say, if they do want to come up and end this barren run they've had in League One, it's games like these that they must win. Big game for them, big game for John McGlynn. And as you say, we're only 4 minutes away.
Looking forward to then. The 3 o'clock kickoffs are coming up next. We've even got one in the World Cup, but not as big as our SPFL matches, and we will get them underway after these.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale in the studio. We've got the top team out and about, and they are busy because the 3 o'clock games are getting underway. The Netherlands against the USA in the World Cup round of 16. Nowhere near as important as Cove Rangers, Partick Thistle, Queen's Park, Hamilton, Ayr United, Raith and Arbroath-Morton in the Championship. Is that right, Gordon Dl, as someone who's fallen out of love with the World Cup? Are you still against it?
Yeah, 100%. I'm not enjoying it. And I don't care. Listen, you can all sit there and kid on. Yeah, a bit of excitement last night before. It's been dreadful. It really has.
Well, hold on a minute. The last time we discussed this, right, was Thursday night on the show. You were whinging about it. I'm driving home. I've got the radio on. We've got Costa Rica. We've got Germany and Spain about to head out. Costa Rica heading through. Then it was all changing, the permutations. What's
last
not to
five,
like?
Last 5-10 minutes, Gordon. And you, I know you do a thing about the theme of the afternoon. My theme is the most hated player in the World Cup. Mine's
you don't get to set the agenda for the show. This the other night.
He's trying to elevate himself to presenter these days.
I'm putting it out there. Mine's is told him. Little Brazilian that plays wide right and plays with Manchester United. Anthony, I can't stand it.
Why? Because he likes to express himself.
Oh, he's not even expressing himself. He goes round in circles and does all the flick. Oh, come on. His football, give me. I totally agree. The lads out there today are going to see good, entertaining football in the Championship, League One. That's what it's all about. Not this
right,
nonsense.
Well, next week you can go to Cove and everybody else can stay.
I don't think
watch
they'll be playing at home. I'll be the fall. I'll go next week. There you go. I'll go anywhere you want next week.
Because we're not on next week.
Correct.
He's not daft. Well, anyway, the Netherlands against USA is up and running. We always like to try and look at it through a Scottish lens, Hugh, but the best I can do is that Cameron Carter-Vickers is not in the starting 11 for USA this afternoon.
And the USA have just missed an absolute pinch. The Dutch thought it was offside, but it wasn't. And the goalkeeper has made an excellent save. So only 3 minutes in and the USA could have been one up.
It's exciting. Great start. He'd had seen the lineups. This will be dreadful. Watch this. This will be dreadful. So I can't wait to see how this unfolds. It's a great start.
Do you know, right, let's move away from most hated players at the World Cup. It's very negative. I don't like it. And Roger Hanna's quite right. He says this could easily happen that tomorrow there could be headlines. The Manchester Evening News: City legend DL slaughters United's Anthony. But and that Roger Hanna's very funny message has just made me completely lose my train of thought. I was about
that's
to
right,
add
it's
something.
It's very unlikely.
No, that was it. I've got it. Do you know of every player at the World Cup? Do you know the one that reminds me of you the most? Not looks.
Ronaldo.
No. It's nothing to do with looks. Just in terms of character. Do you know who you are of this Suarez. World Cup? Nope. Well, I could see the point. You're the boy that scored for Cameroon, whips his top off, gets sent off when they could be doing with another goal, doesn't care.
Yeah.
Big smile, all about me. He's got his shirt off. Look at me, everybody. I've scored. I don't care if I'll get sent off. That's you, like, in a nutshell.
I've got to admit, and if any of my teammates are listening, I totally apologise. My full concern, I don't care what the score was at 5 o'clock. See, as long as I'd scored.
I believe it.
My name was in the paper the next day. Shuggy was writing something nice about me, and away you go. I had a nice weekend.
Well, that's you. You, in another life, were born to play up front for Cameroon.
Yeah, but it was my job to score. Mm-hmm. I don't care what else happened.
No Lion team and all that stuff. Anyway, right, there's no goals anywhere. Now, forget Qatar for a second. There's no goals in our featured matches down the leagues as well. So why don't we get this up and running quickly, Hugh Evans?
The first half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Now, not including this current World Cup, which is an abomination according to the Dazzler, not including this World Cup, name the last five players to play for their country in the knockout stages onwards of a World Cup whilst playing for a Scottish side. So don't include this World Cup. Name the last five to play for their country in the knockout stages onwards of a World Cup while playing for a Scottish side.
I like that. At Clyde SSB, right, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There might be one of them who had technically just left a Scottish club, but it was his most recent club. You know, you would still consider him as being a player of that club. He hadn't signed for a new club yet, because obviously the World Cup usually takes place in the summer. But I think it only applies to one of them, and don't let that put you off too much. You can see the question repeated over on our Twitter feed, at Clyde SSB, and that is where you need to send the answers to. It is a race. Get your thinking caps on. Get in touch and let us know. I like to think that they are and by the way, I don't mean to go for lazy stereotypes here, but just in case there are, because it could be husbands or wives or boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever. If you're being dragged around the shops, the Christmas shopping, by your significant other, maybe you're sitting slumped in the corner waiting, desperate for the day to end. You've got us on the earphones. Maybe you can put some thinking time into that first half teaser and send it over. I must admit, I made my first foray into the city centre this morning.
Dangerous stuff.
Very, very early for me. I usually thrive on the sort of last minute, because I don't have a real job. I only come in here at night, so I quite like to just, you know, maybe pick a day, a couple of days before Christmas, go in during the day. But I thought I'd go a bit earlier. Went in this morning. Chaos.
Horrendous.
Absolute chaos.
Yep. No good. I try to steer clear, Gordon. Do all my shopping online.
Nah,
if possible.
That. I don't like that. I'm old school. I'm like Hugh Evans.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything?
Queues and
for myself.
No.
Because it's your birthday coming up soon, isn't it?
That's true. Oh, we've got one of these, right? Enough about me.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
David Friel called it. He said he's been one of the players of the lower leagues in recent seasons, Mitch Meganson, and it's only taken him 6 minutes to get up and running this afternoon. Bad news for you Partick Thistle fans. Those back-to-back clean sheets looking like a thing of the past. Now they are a thing of the past. Cove Rangers 1, Partick Thistle 0, Mitch Meganson.
I know him all too well. Yeah, I played with him at Dumbarton. Good lad. And then he punished me many occasions when we came up against Cove. But a good player at that level. Top goal scorer. And seen Cove through out the leagues, and he's at it again today.
Well, David said there was a good Partick Thistle travelling support, so they can't be too despondent. There's plenty of time left for them, but it's a real test of character now.
Did you say you went and bought yourself a birthday present?
Yeah.
Ah, look, it's just a long story.
That's all that was on my mind when Mitch Meganson was scoring there.
No, I mean,
he bought it and then hid it in the car.
Yeah, I'll just give it to someone and then say go and give that back to me for another.
I'm doing that for my Christmas
save
presents.
Everybody else the hassle, then you, and then you don't get lumbered with stuff you don't like.
You do strike me as that type of guy that you're so particular with what you want, you know, and you would throw a straw if you got something rubbish.
It's like you, I'll be honest, right, I'll openly, it was golf shoes, right? You just don't want somebody else picking your golf shoes, do you?
No, you've got to pick your own
right,
stuff.
So what's the problem in that?
I would just happily accept them and say, I know they're great.
Listen, we've seen your golf gear. We would agree with that.
By the way, my mum will be listening. She bought me them, so mum.
She might have bought you them, but it was 1999 when she bought you them, so she'll have been over it by now. Anyway, at Clyde SSB, do you know what I was thinking, actually, though, on the topic of that time of year fast approaching? I'm looking at that the date in front of me, Mark, 3rd of December, and I'm looking for your specialist subject here, footballers' nights out.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
That would be your mastermind subject. Would this be the first weekend where players are playing today? So you're looking at our games, whether it's Queen's Park or Partick Thistle, Falkirk Airdrie. Is there a good chance that this is the first weekend that those guys are full time whistle, into the shower, glad rags on, onto the bus, and Christmas night out?
Tis the season where Christmas nights out have been planned for a long time.
So would the 3rd of December
be? Well, 3rd of December, yeah. I know one, it's happening in our leagues just now. It's happening tonight.
Oh, yes.
It's not too far from here.
Well, you've now
just
say
it's Queen's Park. Okay, Queen's Park have got their night out and they're on their way, so Owen Coyle will be home for a win, or it could
be
cancelled.
Air United, they're off to Dublin as well, apparently.
Are they?
What?
According to Roger Hanna, Air United.
Seriously?
That's not far, though, is it?
Yeah, but it's
just
my
across the water.
Day was... Club de Mar.
No. This is the thing. By the way, Memphis Depay's put the Netherlands one up on USA, but that's much less important. No, things have moved on.
Yeah.
The teams pretty much always now go.
Have to go away.
You go away.
Get out of the city.
That's a thing.
It's not like they're big names, is it?
Well, even better then, you can blend in. Newcastle, Liverpool, Leeds, Dublin, Belfast, whatever. Manchester.
Newcastle's a big one, isn't it, for the nights out?
And there'll be various teams there, won't they?
They'll all congregate. Sort
of congregate. Yeah. So, right, okay, you've inspired me. Because I reckon there will be amateur teams out there. You'll be people listening, junior players, amateur players. If this is the first weekend of the year when football team Christmas nights out take place, why not tweet me your best stories from said nights out?
Is this wise?
Well, producer Callum will go through them all, discard 99% of them, and give me the 1% that can be read out on air. I feel like pushing the boundaries this afternoon. I'm in one of those moods. So come on then, if this is the first weekend of football team Christmas nights out, have you ever been on one? Were they memorable? If so, why? Give me your stories, your destinations. You can name and shame people who've disgraced themselves, whatever you want. This is the place to do it, at Clyde SSB. This will be good fun.
I wouldn't go with a night out now.
They were an amazing time.
What was your memorable ones then?
Well, I had to suffer a lot before consumed alcohol.
You didn't turn
I
to
just had to sit there
dressed
to up.
Your mid-twenties.
You know, because quite...
As a Celtic player.
It's usually fancy dress.
What have you come as? Number 12.
What did you dress up as?
We've had it all. We've had, you know, movie characters. We've had...
And you went as?
I went as Zorro one time. That was before I drunk. Right, at Dundee United, I remember driving the car in. And I was 18 at the time. We're all dressed as movie. I'm Zorro. But I parked the car at the top of Sucky Hall Street in the car park. You often forget you have to get to the place where you're meeting. So I'm walking down Sucky Hall Street dressed as Zorro.
And nobody else is dressed up because it's not Halloween, it's Christmas.
People are just at dinner, Christmas shopping. Until you get into that pub where all your mates are, you look like a right idiot. But once I started to consume alcohol, then it all became better.
He walked down the following afternoon as Zorro.
Let's go up market. We're not interested in Dundee United going to the big lights of Glasgow here.
Right? I remember going to Liverpool and it was a two-dayer, so we went after the game.
Here
brilliant.
I quickly said that it was a two-dayer.
They're always two-dayers, aye.
Of course.
So the second day, you're a bit giddy and you're dressed up. So I was, I don't know what the theme was, but I was Elvis and I was sharing a room with Paddy McCourt. He was Banana Man. So
Elvis and Banana Man, the same. Yeah,
room. Elvis and Banana Man were sitting at the hotel bar. And we ended up walking up to the Cavern Club, and the boy playing in the Cavern Club in Liverpool, the entertainment just looked all us coming in and just must have thought, what is this? And we had one of the best days. And dare I say, that went on for a few years.
Was it the Elvis Las Vegas jumpsuit? Was it that?
No, I can't squeeze into that. Come on. Yeah. I've never been the slimmest.
Is it ever the case then, does the manager ever pull the plug if the result that day doesn't go to plan? So, I mean, I've had Hayley, I don't know if Hayley is reliably informed, if she's just wanting to tell tales. She's tweeted me as well and says, Queen's Park are off to Newcastle tonight. I mean, for instance, if they get turned over at home to Hamilton, would Owen Coyle pull the plug, or is that not the done thing?
I've been there. I've, again, at Dundee United, everything was planned and we got beaten Is it Gordon Chisholm or Ian McCall pulled the plug? I did not go down well with the players. Did not go down well at
all. Lost the dressing room.
Lost the dressing room for 3 days.
The worst day is when the manager pulls the plug in the kitty. That's the big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go and face Jimmy Nicol. Took it right off the table. Boys were absolutely disgusted. We really tried to get him the sack with a couple of defeats that way that year, let me tell you.
So was there a direct link? I mean, at Celtic, were you always talking, what, Liverpool, London?
We were always away, but the best couple we had was we flew straight to London 2 years in the bounce. And one time we were playing Dundee United away at Tannadice, and we got a flight from Dundee Airport. No planes leave to Dundee Airport. Played at Tannadice, right. Straight to Dundee Airport, flew to London, straight to our hotel, straight out that night, and it was X Factor final that night. Will I Am was one of the performers. We ended up in the nightclub with Will I Am, and I mean, hours before we were at Tannadice.
No wonder.
And me, no wonder me and a few of the guys qualified. Are standing with Will I Am chatting away about Celtic.
No wonder we haven't qualified for a World Cup since 1998.
That was amazing. I think I've got photos of
Will I Am and Will So In.
Do you know when I let that story down? Think about this. Will I Am talking about Celtic.
Aye.
Will I Am wouldn't even know who Celtic was.
He knew. Oh, he knew everything about the club. He had posters. He said where he was.
Are you Wilson? Are you
who's Will I Am?
Never
William.
Mind. Aye. Was that the trip to London that you told me a story about one of your teammates ended up getting a taxi up the road? Well, we have to leave him nameless.
Actually, leave him nameless, right, okay. But he did. He got a taxi. We were arriving back to the hotel.
Leave him nameless,
yeah, we were right. Arriving back to the hotel, and he's on his way out the hotel. Where are you going? He says, I'm going
from
home.
From London.
I'm going
a
home.
Taxi.
He jumped in a black cab at the front door and fell asleep in the back, and the driver woke him up as he's coming into the part of
see.
Scotland.
Well, he's well seen. This is the Celtic night. If
that's
you're,
class, isn't see, it?
If you're not quid, aye, if you're Queen's Park or whatever, you can't afford a taxi from London back to Glasgow.
That's amazing.
He's doing man. He's taking A1. It's M6, mate.
Anyway, we'll have a bit of fun with that. Tweet us at Clyde SSB your football team Christmas night out stories. Like, don't feel left out if you're not part of a football team. I suppose I would take your work Christmas night out stories as well. Please do, at Clyde SSB. We've got goals down the leagues. I don't know if these guys are away anywhere. Stranraer 0, Stirling Albion 1, Robert Thompson with the goal. Elgin City 1, Stenhouse Muir 0, Russell Dingwall with the goal there. And that goal for Mitch Meganson for Cove against Partick Thistle is the only one in our featured matches.
Stirling Albion absolutely flying just now. I actually hope they win that league, you know, for 2 reasons. Jack, connection to the show, but so they beat Dumbarton, because this guy has banged on about Dumbarton since the start of the season because he watched them one game.
Dumbarton are the champions. Give them the trophy now. No problem. Job's done. Stirling will be runners up.
Into the playoffs, perhaps.
Yeah,
well, we'll see. We will see.
By the way, this game's good that we're watching. And
good.
This guy's
this is your problem. You're now just you're doing that thing that you do where you won't admit that you're wrong, and you're just doubling down. This is a good game of football.
Well, one, neither of you are watching it.
I'm
really
watching it.
I'm watching it.
Memphis Depay's goal was a wonderful
right?
team move.
And apart from the goal, it's
been chances. Yes, he missed a sitter before the goal.
Yeah, well, 2 minutes. They've not really had a save.
And
yeah,
the Mexican wave's gone around the stadium. That's just ruined it for me.
You not like the Mexican wave?
Of course not. No? What disgraceful sight at a football game.
There is
a Mexican wave.
What about the pressure? Have you ever been in a stadium when it comes in and you're going, I need to stand up here? And if you don't, people
throw your arms up.
What a manufactured piece of atmosphere generation that is. Nonsense. Not having that.
And
at
where
all.
Did it originate? Was it Mexico?
That would be my guess.
86, was it?
Clues in the title.
That would be my guess, but I actually don't know. Or do you mean did it originate
in
the World
Cup? I know it was in Mexico, but was it at Mexico 86 World Cup?
I don't know.
Callum should know that. He's a football nerd.
He's working away in there. He'll say something in my ear in a minute. But anyway, Netherlands won USA 0 Memphis Depay with the goal, and it was a great goal. Don't listen to Gordon DL. Keep your guesses coming in at Clyde SSB on the teaser. And we are also asking for your best ever Christmas night out stories, because Christmas party season is very much upon us. Football teams up and down the country today will be heading away on theirs. Will there be chaos, Mark, in the Premiership this season? When When will the players get theirs?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
They won't.
I wonder if they're trying to arrange something this weekend, maybe, if they're back in training. Mm. I think there's a good chance of that. So keep your eyes open, everybody.
It's part of the fun, not that you go after a game when you play on the Saturday.
Yeah, well, that is. It's only fun if you
win. Do you think
it's
part of the foreign culture? I mean, the five Japanese players at Celtic, they can't really see them.
Oh, the story about Nakamura, before I joined the club, I joined in January, but I heard about the Christmas night out the month before. And Nakamura came and he wasn't a drinker or anything. Apparently, carried it, the restaurant, and a bit worse for wear. And needless to say, I never seen him in another socialising event after that.
One and only. Please drink responsibly. Clyde nil, FC Edinburgh 1, John Robertson with the goal, bouncing back from cup.
The drum.
Humiliation to your team, Hugh, the drum. And I must admit, we were all excited to see what the draw would hold. The glamour. We had the assistant manager on the phone. We had the co-manager, sorry. We had the kit man on the show. They were talking about getting Celtic or Rangers or Hearts, Hibs or Aberdeen. Elgin away.
Yeah.
It's not great, is it?
Nah. Two bob team.
Sorry to the people of Elgin if you're listening. No offence.
I like that, Hugh. I lost my job.
A history of Scottish football and 100 objects has tweeted to say, here you are. Never let it be said that this show is not an education. The Mexican wave was first started by crazy George Henderson at a baseball game in Oakland, California in October the 15th, 1981.
So why is it the Mexican wave then?
That's disappointing then.
Oh, I love that. It's great knowledge.
No, it's good knowledge, but it's disappointing that we are taking it for a baseball game. And well, it must have got popular.
Well, that does
worked its
up.
Way down to Mexico and then became popular through that World Cup. Well done, Callum.
So apparently in America it's just called the wave though.
You've put Mexico in front
of it. So maybe then, maybe there is another chapter. Mm. Maybe it did become more popular for viewers here in Mexico at that World Cup, and we added the Mexican bit. I don't know.
Have you ever seen When Harry Met Sally?
Where's this going?
The bit there's a wave in there.
There is.
What?
When Harry Met Sally. It's a movie. Oh, right. It's a classic movie.
Oh, right. He'll have seen it. He only remembers one scene though. He doesn't remember that bit.
I'm still watching that snow one that you go to every year.
You still going to that? You remember
the snow one.
That's the only scene you remember from that, isn't it? From Harry Met Sally.
I've never watched
you
Harry
Met Sally. Never had diner. That recreated in the Rex Cafe or anything, no? Never mind.
All right, I know where you're going now. No. No, I know where you're going.
What stupid question did you just ask me?
The snow movie that you go and see every Christmas.
It's a Wonderful Life, I mean.
That's the one. Do you still go to that?
Do I still go and see it every year? I think.
You're a wee bold now, ain't you? For that nonsense.
What do you mean?
Well, to go every year, you've seen it.
You must have the only home in Scotland that does not have It's a Wonderful Life on every year. Christmas
is that the one?
It was always a tradition. Every year we would go to the cinema to see it. Then a couple of things happened. Lockdown, straight into check. So we probably haven't gone the last two, maybe the last two or three. So slacking. Might need to get it on there.
Yeah, on the
stream it this year. I was going to see even DVD, but that's now even done, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't have a Christmas movie.
I've got one on DVD. It's Wonderful Life. Yeah, I'll lend it to you. Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
I actually just prefer to watch it in black and white.
Really,
you can watch it in colour, and it's just not the same.
Yeah,
well, obviously it's not the same, but it just doesn't sit.
When he's running down the street, it's not the same in colour.
Nah, it doesn't. You still never seen it, seriously?
No, I've never seen it.
That doesn't surprise me.
The thing is about this show, right? There'll be a lot, because listeners to this show remember everything that's ever said. And they'll remember that we had this discussion last Christmas and the Christmas before that. If there's any way to chart how long I've been on this show, it's how many years we've had this discussion at Christmas. And I think the answer is six, by the way. So,
but you should watch it then and give, you know, progress the conversation.
But my big dilemma is, I go colour or black?
No, don't go colour.
You know,
it was made the year I was born, there you?
1924, was it?
No.
Is that right, Shug?
1949, It's a Wonderful Life.
Absolutely. You remind me of Clarence, actually.
Yeah.
A little bit. Your copy of Tom Sawyer. Or you've got the Daily Record in your pocket. I can see you sleeping in those robes that he wears, actually. I can just about imagine that. No, I actually hope he never watches it. He's just too cynical. He'll ruin it for me. All he'll do is moan about it. This is a guy who can't even enjoy the World Cup. Yeah. A guy who takes no happiness from putting up Christmas decorations or sending or receiving Christmas cards. I don't want them to watch it and then whinge about it.
Don't you watch anything Christmassy at all? Any films or... That face suggests no.
I'm not the one that sticks out, to be honest with you.
But without giving too much away, some of the things that you've said about your football viewing habits over the last year would suggest that you've now got different options available to you on your television that you can watch anything at the touch of a button, constantly. So on your special TV that you've got, does it have a Christmas movie section that you could maybe explore?
Do you know something? I'm going to look into that tonight.
Yeah, you do that.
And I may find a wee jammy day, just with a duvet, sit and watch a wee movie. Ah, there you go.
I've got to watch Tyson Fury and Derek Chisora tonight.
Thanks, honestly. What? Are you two fighting again? Not for me.
Seriously, are they on tonight?
Yeah.
Ah, no, not watching that. I'm watching Who's Voice. Let's Hear Your Voice. Yes, that's it. Let's Hear Your Voice.
So far we've rated Christmas movies, Saturday night TV shows, asked Mark Wilson about Christmas nights out. Anybody want to talk about football or...
I'm very surprised there's no goals. Queen's Park Hamilton, I mean, the Queen's Park going for promotion, got their night out in danger of having it cancelled if they slip up against the bottom club. Very surprised. Come on now, Owen, snap to it.
I wonder if they're enjoying playing back there, because I remember taking Breakin' and Airdrie there, and they're just saying it's eerie. I think it was Mark Roberts at the time that was in charge. He just says he didn't enjoy, you know, the vastness of the stadium when it came to that level. It's weird.
Here's a sore one on the Christmas night out stories, right? They're starting to come in. Sean White says, boy and the team wore fake designer shoes to training. We found out he paid £20 from the Barra's Market. So on the bus back from the night out, he took his shoes off, someone threw them out the bus window. But it turns out he liked the look of the fake so much that he had bought a real pair for the Christmas night out. Somebody's launched his brand new designer shoes.
That's the thing,
out
seeing
the bus window.
Those Christmas nights out.
That was Sean White who sent that, and that's fantastic.
Anything goes, you know. The most well behaved teammate that you've seen for the previous 6 months turns into this different person for 48 hours. It's amazing. What a Christmas night out this.
It's funny, Hugh, because you hear that there. The night out lasts 48 hours.
Yeah,
how the footballers live, eh? Whirl Ranger is not quite getting in the spirit, but a bit of a tongue in cheek one. He says, what about beers by the pool in Dubai with Lenny? Are we better not? We only spent about 6 weeks talking about that.
And the hair braiding as well. Remember, Wax, Al, and Duffy were at that.
How could we forget? So, yes, what's your best story from a Christmas night out? Get them into us on Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can keep them anonymous. Inverness 0, Dundee 1, Paul McMullen with the goal. And in our featured game,
Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
We do have another goal as well, and it's for... Well, we've got two, actually, another two. One for Queen's Park, so they go one up against Hamilton Accies. Grant Savory with a low strike into the corner. And our featured League One game as well, Falkirk are in front against Airdrie. Kai Kennedy, ball over the top, took it down and fired it in a cross goal, left footed, to make it Falkirk 1, Airdrie 0. And that game you predicted, Hugh, Queen's Park 1, Hamilton 0.
Yeah, amazing. Owen must have heard me say snap to it. It's a long shift for John Rankin at Hamilton. I mean, I heard the who's at Hamilton for us?
Andrew.
Yeah, I heard him say about all the players who were born in 2006, and I thought, I've got socks I bought in 2006.
Yeah, I mean, that made even me feel not great. Considering it's a World Cup year, there's a chance that those players playing for Hamilton today or involved in the squad weren't alive when Zidane headbutted Materazzi
Amazing.
In the World Cup
I
final.
I mean, one of the boys on the bench for Hamilton, Gabriel Forsyth, went to school with my boys, 6 months older. Just brings it into the perspective what John has got. I mean, a boy with a good future ahead of him, but it's difficult for a manager to rely on young players when they're at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, in the World Cup still, Netherlands 1 USA 0, 28 minutes gone there. Argentina Australia tonight, of course.
I'll be alright. That'll be exciting.
Alright, we're winning you round then.
2 A's. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Harry Suter against Lionel Messi.
That's what I'm
Brilliant
looking
story
forward.
How does that sound?
Great story for the young man.
We heard from one of his old youth coaches on the show last night, a man you know well.
Yep, my good friend, former assistant Stevie Campbell. See, when you look at his record, the players that he brought through and coached in his time at United, exceptional. I would dare say that Harry Souter probably wasn't the one that he would have said would have probably played at the highest level.
Stevie sounds an excitable type.
Very. once he gets a head of steam up, he's hard to stop.
If Harry Souter scores tonight, I wouldn't like to see and hear Stevie.
He's a brilliant guy, Stevie. But I mean, so much influence over the young players, because when you get them at that young age, you know, it was his job to work in morning and afternoon sessions, and then of course the manager comes along and says they're looking good.
Oh, I'll tell you what a trip to Newcastle it's going to be if this continues.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Queen's Park have doubled their advantage. Simon Murray played through into the box, finds the bottom corner, and those Accies fans who were needing a result, it certainly doesn't look like happening today. Quick fire double. Two goals inside 2 minutes, and it's Queen's Park 2, Hamilton Accies 0.
Simon Murray's had a varied career from South Africa to the south side of Glasgow. I just wonder if Queen's Park were to get up, if the squad might need seriously overhauled for the top division. But well done, Simon Murray, Hibs ex-player. As I say, went to South Africa.
That might be one of the great Hugh Keevan-isms of all time. It's December, the Queen's Park fans are dreaming of promotion, and you have got them having to upgrade their squad for the Premiership already.
Yes, come on. No, I feel that this is the case. Yes, I'll discuss it with Owen later.
Anyway, they're 2-0 up. Andrew McLean says, Tup-Tup won't know what's hit it. I can only assume that's a night spot in Newcastle.
I would not.
What's it called? Tup-Tup?
Andrew McLean's a lot younger than us, of course.
Let me tell you, see, when you're on that pitch and you're a Queen's Park player and you go 2-0, your mind starts wandering to the bus journey down and what's ahead. So
wonder what the first dance will be the next.
There's no better feeling.
So if it goes
2-2, to the last one.
If it goes 2-2, Hamilton Accies will know that they've switched off altogether then. Yeah.
Coyley, I'm sure, won't let that happen. Good night ahead for the boys.
But the biggest problem for that for me would be the journey down there. You know what I mean? It's a long way.
Oh, that's a good.
That's the best bit for them.
You know, on just, the bus.
You've never seen a team get showered and changed so quickly in your life.
One or two refreshments after the protein shakes are done.
Yeah.
That's the best bit.
I like to get into the venue, sort of separate myself from the ones I didn't like. Stand there myself. There you go.
I can imagine that, you know, just at the bar, just with the suit, with the collar, the shirt collar over the suit collar.
Ten, sweetheart, tell your mum you'll not be home. Make a phone call. It was a great night's out.
Stranraer 1, Stirling Albion 1, Dylan Forrest with the goal on 31 minutes.
There's something of the Del Boy Trotter about him. You know, I can see him at the bar and then falling through the bar.
Yeah. One of these in the Gordon DL Derby. Oof. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. 1-0 to Ayr. Josh Mullen at the back post. Great trick on the wide area across from Logan Chalmers. And there was Josh Mullen. 1-0 to Ayr United.
Well, they want to stay top. One of four clubs could be top of that division by 5 o'clock. One of four. But Ayr are showing their determination to make sure that they started there this afternoon and they'll finish there this evening.
4-1 Albion Rovers nil. Ben Armour with the goal there.
I think what's interesting, going to be interesting anyway with Ayr and Morton. I think we spoke about it last year with our broth, that once they get in this position and they get halfway through the season, how they deal with the pressure of the games they're then expected to win. So today, Ayr against Raith, top of the league, you'd expect Ayr to win. But Daz was saying, you never know that Raith could have went there full of confidence and next up. But Ayr dealing with the pressure well every week, getting results against teams that, you know, are up there challenging alongside them.
Well, it's three of the top four are leading so far. And if Morton got a goal, all of a sudden this afternoon, that gap with the four could just be breaking away, and it could be a little mini league. I know it's still early, but there's some quality teams.
Only one correct answer on the teaser, Hugh. So let's see if we can get some wrong answers out the way.
Yep.
Give us a question.
Not including this fantastic current World Cup, name the last five players to play for their country in the knockout stages onwards of a World Cup while playing for a Scottish side.
Sean has gone for Bruno Alves.
No, good try, but
I think
no.
He was in a squad but didn't play. He's also gone, and this might be the similar reason, Dedric Boyata.
No.
Peter Gray wants to go for Mick McCarthy?
Call me Mick. My dad was Mr. McCarthy. He said to me once.
Pat Bonner.
Pat Bonner scored a goal.
So we're not in the last. There is nothing mentioned about scoring goals.
Oh, right,
here.
Okay.
It's the last five players to do it. So those two.
These answers you've gave me based on them scoring goals
would be out with the time. It's the last five. So we've only got one correct answer. So come on, let's see what we can get at Clyde SSB. Send your answers in, please. And see if you can join that podium. There is only one.
We've got five. Can you have a look
so far? Then hold up your bit of paper.
Go on then. You've now added six.
Just, I know, just by the numbers.
Okay, one. Yeah, they're all right. I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, it's funny. We're watching a World Cup being played for the first time ever in the month of December. I remember Pat Bonner's save at Italia '90, and I watched it in the press room at Wimbledon. Don't you know?
See, that's a proper time of year for these big sporting events.
I had an action figure of that. Can you believe that? Yeah. That save. Little figure diving down with a ball. Always remember that.
Big Christmas in the Wilson household that year.
I didn't get much.
His dad delivered it.
Still got it?
No, unfortunately no. No, I lost it.
That's in the charity shop along eBay's with his Beacon tracksuit. That was one of the all-time great discoveries on Twitter. Seeing someone messaged me to say they had found your Breakin' tracksuit in a local charity shop.
It was a low blow. I was just trying to do something good for the Breakin' fans out there that couldn't afford the merchandise.
And then Alec Ray went and bought some of it.
By the way, the t-shirts that Alex...
Is it in the bin, I take it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it got auctioned off for hundreds of pounds.
We sent it to someone, yeah, I remember.
Oh, hundreds, yeah, I was just doing my bit for charity.
Someone, Alec Ray dropped us off Reading t-shirts the other day.
Have you seen them?
I wore it, I went out a run the other night, and I'll tell a lie, I was going to get a run when I came in here. Quite like the Clydebank running scene, right? It's a lovely area.
Makes you run quicker.
And I was on my way out the door, I just grabbed it, and it was still in the back, it's still in the little pouch that it came in. So I can't imagine many people go a run in Clydebank wearing some sort of Reading t-shirt. That was his Christmas gift to us when he delivered the visited the studio.
I took it out of the pouch and I put it on, and I was thinking, this is great, it's not even got a badge on it. Brilliant. It's on the sleeve. I'm going to try and unstitch it.
Just rip it off. I think I could live with that, I must admit. Right, no other goals going in at the moment. We're still looking on Twitter for your Christmas night out stories. Now don't worry, see if it's not a football team related one. Of course, that gives you the brownie points, because we primarily look at things through a football focus. But any Christmas night out stories whatsoever that you want to share, send them in at Clyde SSB. You can ask me to leave them anonymous, that will be absolutely fine. It's just, it's that time of year. All these teams that are playing today, lots of them will be heading off afterwards. I actually can't remember and where I heard this story, right, which renders it useless, but there is a team somewhere, I think it was an English team, so maybe it was a podcast or something I listened to, where they were going to Dubai, the sort of way of, I don't know if it was to keep the price down or the best way that they could plan it was they were really cutting it fine for after the game, like properly cutting it fine, so they didn't shower. And they went all the way, and then they properly had like mud up their legs and stuff like that. The full night flight arrived, caked in mud.
That's amazing.
That is brilliant.
Oh dear, Newcastle, lock yourselves up. You don't know what's hitting you tonight.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvement.
Start the bus.
Yeah, get
Queen's
the tunes
Park
on.
3 Hamilton Accies 0. Josh McPake on 36 minutes. There's a few extra quid getting into that kitty tonight,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah. O'Neill will be dipping into his pocket. But worrying times for Hamilton. They're getting left adrift down there.
It's just as well their team are too young to go out.
That's true. Is there a good unders on there?
They'll be in their bed by 9 o'clock tonight.
That is awkward, eh? You have to consider that. I do feel for John. I've been in exactly that position where you stand there in that big stadium. And you have to go into your technical area.
See, be fair, John.
And you're getting.
You've been
thumped.
In a different position. John's bottom of the Championship. You're bottom Division 2.
No, I was. Weirdly, I'm talking about. Oh, that's right. You weren't at the game. You were in here.
Oh, well,
you should have been at the game.
When
the way, apparently it is Hamilton's night out tonight as well.
Oh, no.
Not anymore. They'll be just sitting in watching It's a Wonderful Life.
And you know what, John? You know, consummate professional, doesn't drink, fitness fanatic. I wonder if you might just pull the plug.
Listen, the way this is going, he may have a drink tonight.
What was it?
To forget about it.
John ranking, like he has like it's like one McDonald's a year or one cup of tea a year. It's something outrageous,
it's
isn't it?
One McDonald's. So Coca-Cola, after the last is it not, and the Coca-Cola alongside. So after the last game of the season, he goes for it and
once
gets it once. We'll sit down.
Just think, we've changed in management. He'll be straight to the nearest kebab shop tonight after
that. Oh, not a chance. He'll never change. One of the fittest players ever. Ever the pleasure of playing
with.
You
need to pick me up after that, don't you?
You'll have a cup of tea. A couple of extra sugars in it.
No.
He'll be alright. Yeah, he'll go a run.
Put brown
two
sugar in
biscuits.
He does. John was one for going a run every Christmas. We did Christmas morning off sometimes. John would go a run, 5 mile run every Christmas
It'll
morning.
It'll be hypnotherapy he needs if this goes on like this.
Yeah, that's not going to be an ideal night if it indeed does go ahead. But it's given us inspiration. Come on, share your best Christmas night out stories, please. I've already liked the guy who had his designer shoes chucked out the bus window.
That was good.
Because everyone thought they were fake. I love that. Just the look on his face. There's no going back, is it? I mean, if you're on the motorway or something.
Oh, no, you're finished. You just need to wave them goodbye.
You can't be spotted at the side of the road looking for your shoes.
You'd be down the next day in your car if it wasn't too far away, just hoping.
Oh, you would.
Well, 100%.
I don't know about anyone else.
Listen, I bought shoes too.
Never forget the time.
Just because they were a good price.
That's right, you did.
Yeah,
you?
And I stretched them.
One the wrong size, was it not?
No, that's saying it. But I went into a well-known Chuggy Gaffer shop, right? And the shoes were 8.5. They were a few quid half price, and I thought I can squeeze into them. Very tight, very sore. But I decided I'll go for that, and then I bought one of these stretcher things with you. I had them on there for about
six months, week
and a half. Thin socks, done the business.
You did also buy 1.8 and 1.9. Did 1.9 you not one time 1.10, deliberately for
in the window? I went and in the garage. That's
true. Yeah, what happened to the other two?
Well, honestly,
they've obviously been sold odd anyway, and then there's the other pair left.
The girl says to me, "Look, I've only won 9 and one." I went, "Well, I can wear two socks in the right, one in the left. How much are you doing them for? Got a good price." Nobody ever went, "Oh, he's got a size 9 and 10."
Some cheat taking it as far as to talk about designer shoes. Do you remember the time you got your nice half and half red and yellow golf ball? And you lost it because you don't lose golf balls. You're just too steady. I'd hate to admit, but there was one minute. Remember, you lost it. And as I'm leaving the golf course, he's pulled his car over. I see him. I've caught him. He's taken his car up to another part of the golf course. Got out.
I found it.
I know you did. And revisited the bit of the course that he lost the ball.
You're tight.
It wasn't. It was the fact that I pride myself not losing golf balls, Mark.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's not what people mean when they say I don't lose them. They mean like I'm so consistent. You don't get to go back and look for it 3 hours later
and say, "I told you,
that was a
I told you so." Ah, that is tight. I'm not.
The one thing about me is I'm not tight. I'm just careful with my golf balls.
Stranraer 2, Stirling Albion 1. Sean McIntosh on 41 minutes there. Stranraer were 1 down. They're now 2-1 in front. Reminder of the teaser, please, Hugh.
Yes. So, not including this World Cup, name the last 5 players to have played for their country in the knockout stages onwards of a World Cup while playing for a Scottish team.
Some good answers coming in. I think we now have a podium at least, but let's see if we can do some more wrong ones and point you out in the right direction if you're wanting to make a last minute run. By the way, I think most of these are looking pretty bang on, I must admit. DeMarcus Beasley, is he on your list?
No, he's not there.
Nah, he was in a squad as well, I think.
He's at Livingston now.
But didn't play. That's right. The way that Marvin Bartley's name gets mixed up so often on this show. Right, no more goals to tell you about. The result of the day so far is Queen's Park 3, Hamilton 0 before the break. Ayr are 1-up on Raith Rovers. Our broth against Morton is goalless, and Cove Rangers 1-up on Partick Thistle, and their featured League One game sees Falkirk leading Airdrie by a 0-0 as well. So get in touch.
Interesting to hear from Fraser. Half time Arbroath against Morton. Long way to go for a goalless draw, Fraser.
Ah, he's used to that though, isn't he?
Is he staying up there? Is he on his Christmas night out?
He's having his Christmas party in Arbroath.
What's the pub across the road?
Gone for a smoky.
Tatty Nukes.
That's the one. Tatty Nukes.
He's in there for a wee smoky night.
And no extra time this week, of course. Roger Hanna's romantic weekend in Dundee got ruined last week because of extra time at Dens.
I wonder how the curry went.
Oh, you don't want to know.
next day.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Put it out. Redecorate the hotel room.
He's doing a 34 waist.
People are out there having their Christmas lunch, for goodness sake. You just put them off it. Outrageous.
Watching this game here, just approaching half time, this is one of the best games I've seen at the
Brilliant,
World Cup. It's end to end stuff. Would you take back what you first stated?
To be honest with you, I'm not really watching. I'm too interested in the show. I'm loving the chat this afternoon.
When is our Christmas night out, more pressingly, in here? Thursday the 15th.
15th. We're always
the same night as Rangers Hibs, and the Premiership starts by brilliant.
We're in here. Obviously.
And you two,
so we are?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to go wild as well.
So, you students of the game, will you be.
Oh, it's devastating.
Are you going to head
news.
Down after the show? Are you going to watch 100%. The second half of
Definitely not.
Rangers Hibs first?
No chance. We will be there. 1 minute past eight, we'll be there. So, save us a spot, whoever's in charge.
Well, we'll see. What's that? A couple of weeks' time.
Oh, can't wait. Is it fancy dress?
I've actually put my knee operation off so I can just go.
Got
a few moves on
commitment.
The dance floor.
That is commitment. Oh no, please don't.
I might have to buy a new cardigan for the day.
Oh nice. What are you thinking, M&S?
Yeah.
Brown.
Gentleman's shopping. Personal grooming, very important.
You could always just borrow another one of Mark Wilson's suits for
him. No, I've got my own clobber now, I've got to say.
Dunfermline 0, Queen of the South 1. Ooh. Rory Payton with the goal right in the stroke of half time. Good time to score. A goal that the Queen of the South fans and the Falkirk fans will celebrate, because if there is any hope of, and there we've got another goal at the World Cup as well, and it looks like the Netherlands' Daley Blint has scored, so it looks like they could be heading through on the stroke of half time. Only 1 minute added on, weirdly, and it is 2-0 to the Netherlands against the USA. It's also half time at Somerset Park, a little bit different from Qatar. Roger Hanna is there.
Yeah, a lot different from Qatar. They say United 1, Raith Rovers 0 at half time. The leaders in the lead, but they're very fortunate to be sort of in second best for long stretches of this first half. Raith really on top. Started brightly. Conor O'Riordan headed over from a corner after 12 minutes. Then skipper Scott Brown volleyed wide at the back post after another Raith set piece in 18 minutes. They're struggling really to emerge as an attacking force. Young Finn Ekrapont making his league debut at right back. He had a shot held by Raith keeper Jamie McDonald after a pass by top scorer Dick Dippo Akinyemi after 19 minutes. But Raith soon back in the front foot. Lewis Bond had a shot deflected off Ekrapont and turned round the post. Decent save by Ayr goalkeeper Charlie Albertson in 24 minutes. Ayr struggling to get any support up to Akinyemi at that stage, but then a masterstroke by the manager Lee Bullen. He switched his wingers. Josh Mullen went from left to right. Logan Chalmers from right to left. Chalmers immediately had a long range shot tipped round the post by Raith keeper McDonald. And then the wide men combined in 32 minutes for the only goal of the first half. A lovely step over, a trick on the left hand side by Chalmers. He whipped in across beyond the far post, and there was Mullen steaming in to fire home from point blank range. Raith almost levelled straight away up at the other end, and it was Albinson making a block, and then Kyle Connell firing the rebound over the top. But Ekrapont has had a really solid debut for Ayr, threatened again, getting forward, and a shot pushed out by McDonald after 37 minutes. Ayr lead, but only just. United 1, Raith Rovers 0.
Let's see what else is happening then. In fact, we've had a late goal in one of our games, but is it half time yet, or will I spoil the headline news? Yeah, I'll have to do it because it's not half time yet. We've got one of these at Gayfield.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it's high flying Morton right in the stroke of half time. A lovely goal from Lewis McGrattan. And Dougie Emery's side will take a lead into the break, you would imagine. We'll get the halftime picture very soon. Let's go to League One Falkirk Airdrie at the break with Gabriel.
Yes, Falkirk deservedly leading 1-0 here, Gordon. Kai Kennedy's lovely goal of difference at the interval. The first chance of the game came 10 minutes in. It was actually for Airdrieonians. Dean McMaster broke through after a Falkirk set piece failed. He could have cut the ball across, but he was well within his right to take the shot on. But it was a good low save from Holgerth in the Falkirk goal, and that was their best chance of the half. Falkirk then got into the game and were on top. They had a couple of free kicks around the edge of the box. The best one was from Cole Donaldson. He went on the goalkeeper's side. Really good effort that Dean Liner spilled. There was no one there to capitalise on it. The goal then eventually came from Kennedy midway through that first half. The ball came over the top from the defence, over their opposing centre-halves from Airdrie. Kennedy, a lovely control over his shoulder. He just struck it out of his left foot across the goal. There was a hint of offside, but no VAR here, of course. A wonderful finish and a lovely goal. Burrell had a headed chance a few minutes later for Falkirk at the near post, but it went into the side netting. And as I say, Falkirk have been on top. They've been getting on the ball in the final third a lot, but they've not had enough chances to show for it. The final pass must be better. Kennedy and Aidan Nesbitt, the danger men as ever for the Bairns. Airdrie only made forays forward in the last 5 minutes of the half. They certainly are still in the game, but Falkirk are in command here. Half-time, Falkirk 1, Airdrie Onions 0.
We told you about that late drama. Let's get the half-time picture at Gayfield with Fraser.
It was late drama, Gordon. Broth 0, Morton 1, and a stoppage time goal by Lewis McGrattan separates the team. Before that, nothing really between them. Pretty hard fought, 45 minutes, plenty of commitment, been pretty physical and lots of tempo, but very few clear-cut chances either until that McGrattan goal. The early chance came for a Broth in the fourth minute. We tested Brian Schwake in the Morton goal with a left-foot volley, 16 yards out, pushed away by the keeper. Then centre-back Thomas O'Brien was next to test the goalkeeper with a header from a Scott Allen corner, tipped over by the goalkeeper at his top right-hand corner. Morton then had a spell of pressure, really excellent defending by our Broth. It's a series of long throws by Lewis Strapp and corners by Robbie Muirhead as they were camped inside and near the Broth box. So Jai Katongo, really bright on the right wing, and he was in a good position two or three times. His crosses were cleared, and a fierce Lewis Strapp shot was headed over by Thomas O'Brien as it headed into the back of the net. Scotland then had another chance, found space in the box, but delayed his shot for some reason, and that allowed an excellent tackle by Jack Baird to clear the danger. Katongo pace causing real problems. Crawford put him through 1-1 with a lovely pass. For some reason, Katongo chose to square the ball rather than shoot, and the chance was gone. Then Robbie Muirhead tested Gaston from distance. Comfortable save by the big goalkeeper. The game was then disrupted by stoppages for injuries. The tempo dropped out of the game. No real chances. It looked like it was going to be 0-0 at half-time until the 46th minute. Lewis McGrattan, very impressed with this young lad in midfield. He broke forward, and as the defence backed off, he just kept going, did a step over and smashed a low left foot shot past Derek Gaston from 20 yards. A great finish, no chance for the big goalkeeper. Decent game to watch so far. Arbroath had a bit to do here though. They find themselves down at half time here. Arbroath 0, Morton 1.
There's also been a late goal in the first half at Hampden. Is there a way back for Hamilton, or is it getting worse, Andrew McLean?
It's getting worse. Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0, the half-time score, and it's been a happy Hampden homecoming for the Spiders so far. They had three shots in the opening 10 minutes or so, all from Dom Thomas, all cutting in on his left at the edge of the box. All were easily saved by Ryan Fulton, though. Hamilton's only opportunity came from good work by Jean-Pierre Tighe on the right. He got into the box, cut it across for Andy Ryan, but Callum Ferry saved his shot with his legs. Queen's Park's first meaningful chance was a goal, Jack Thompson finding Grant Savory at the edge of the box. He took a touch before guiding the ball past Fulton for 1-0. Simon Murray then made it 2, latching onto Boateng's through ball, confidently finding the bottom corner for that one as well. It was 3-10 minutes before the break. Josh McPake cutting in on his right, and that was a good finish as well, fired low into the far bottom corner. And then the last kick of the first half was a goal as well. Grant Savory again, this time receiving the ball in a crowded box. He got the finish away though, and it could be a long, long afternoon for Hamilton. Guessing it will probably be a long night for the Queen's Park players as well, but for very different reasons. The half-time score here, Queen's Park 4, Hamilton 0.
Wow, Hamilton Accies fans, I'd be expecting to hear from you at full-time on the open line if things don't improve, or if they're to get even worse. What about at Cove Rangers against Partick Thistle then, David Friel?
Yeah, half-time, Gordon. Cove Rangers 1, Partick Thistle 0, and Mitch Meganson's been the main man again for Cove. He's now on 201 goals for the club. Maybe a deserved lead, I think. Probably edged it just on the balance of chances. Meganson's been excellent, and he made Partick pay when they switched off early on. Ian McCall, not a happy man at the side of the pitch. Partick actually the first effort in 4 minutes when Cammy Smith's low shot was saved by Stuart McKenzie. Decent shot, decent save. But Cove were far more clinical 2 minutes later when Meganson put them ahead. That was in 6 minutes. Max Johnson, he's playing right back for Cove, on loan from Motherwell. What an athlete he is. He's getting up and down the right wing all day. Fired over a terrific cross. Meganson took a touch and just shot was far too powerful for Jamie Snedden. Haven't been many chances since then, but Fraser Fyvie did come close. He just replaced Shea Logan, who went off injured in 23 minutes. 2 minutes later, Fyvie got on the end of a cross at the back post, but his shot was just dragged wide. Mitch Benson also had another effort save just before the break. Partick, a lot of pressure, but not very many chances. As I said, Ian McCall will be expecting far better in the second half. Half time, Cove 1, Partick 0.
And there we are. I'll give you a full roundup of the halftime scores. We'll also do the answers and the winners of the first half teaser next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The halftime whistles have gone up and down the country in the 3 o'clock games. The halftime scores then are as follows. In the Championship, it's Arbroath 0, Morton 1, Ayr United 1, Raith Rovers 0, Cove Rangers 1, Partick Thistle 0, Inverness 0, Dundee 1, and Queen's Park 4, Hamilton Accies 0. In League 1, Clyde 0, FC Edinburgh 1, Dunfermline 0, Queen of the South 1, Falkirk 1, Airdrie 0, Kelty 0, Peterhead 0, Montrose 0, Alloa 0. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Dumbarton 0, East Fife 1, Annan 1, Elgin City 2, Stenhouse Muir 1, Forfar Athletic 1, Albion Rovers 0, and Stranraer 2, Stirling Albion 1. And in the World Cup last 16, it's Netherlands 2, USA 0. This seems like a good opportunity, Hugh Keevans, to round this off if you are ready.
I am.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Not including this World Cup, name the last five players to play for their country in the knockout stages onwards of a World Cup while playing for a Scottish side. They are Mikael Lustig, Georgi Samaras, Effie Ambrose, Ki Sung-yeon and Morris Edu.
Great list, well done if you got them all right. Congratulations to the following three who make up the podium. Sideshow Bob was the third fastest, Derek was the second, and DJ was the winner. Well done to you three. That's a fantastic effort. Let's see how you go with the second half teaser of Who Am I after the break. You can still stay in touch on Twitter as well. John Crawford, for instance, has taken the kids for my birthday to a freezing Hamden, but it hasn't disappointed. 4-0 to Queens, and he sent me a picture. That's definitely the halftime score of the day so far, you would have to say. And the second halves are coming up next.